open our hearts and our minds to the things that you would have for us this morning. And we ask and we pray that your Spirit might be a filter for us so that we would hear the things that you would want and need us to hear, and the other things we might be able to set off to the side. And even if just for a moment, that you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead or the things that are happening even right now in this moment in our lives so that we would hear your voice. And so we ask that you would open your word to us this morning, that it would be fresh and new, and that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're working through a sermon series entitled Road Trip, and we are doing a really quick journey through Scripture. And we started a couple of weeks ago, and we highlighted the importance of how the Bible was not written to be a geography book, a history book, a science book, a sociological book, but really was written, and though it's incredibly accurate on a lot of those points, the intent of the writers of Scripture was to record salvation history, the places where God connects with and touches humanity. And so we spent some time talking about that, and we started out with going through the law and history books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Esther, and we highlighted the person of Abraham as we talked about a starting point and how God used Abraham as a starting point to kind of reveal his plan of salvation and redemption for humanity. And then we talked about getting directions and highlighted the wisdom literature and looking at Job through the Song of Solomon and highlighted Psalm 23 and some of the different ways in which God shows up, reveals to us his character and his presence and some things like that. And last week we talked about the prophets and how they serve as a signpost for us along the journey. And we looked at the major and minor prophets, Isaiah through Malachi, and the ways in which as we travel on this journey of life and faith that God will put signposts along our journey. And we talked about what some of those signposts are of his presence, of his grace, of sometimes the calling, that sometimes the signpost is God calling us to go and to do and to be, and we wrestle with that sometimes when we hear God's voice and where he might be leading us or where we might be going. This morning I want to look at we're moving now. We've made the transition from the Old Testament. We're now starting. We're moving into the New Testament this morning, and we're going to look at a chunk called the Gospels. So the first four books of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, called the Gospels. The word gospel means good news, and so this morning I want to look at these four books, and I want to pull out the gospel within the gospel. So capital G, gospel, who I believe is Jesus. The gospel, the good news, is Jesus. And see where in the gospels, the four, where we might see some things for us. Have you ever, we've used the imagery of on our phones. I told you about a conference I went to a couple weeks ago and how, you know, on your phone, you put in your destination, you put, you know, route from your current location, and this magical blue line shows up on your phone, and this blue dot, maybe your colors are a little bit different on whatever phone you're using, right? But and your dot moves along the blue line, and then there are times when you end up, your dot is off the line, and you kind of have to figure out, how do I get back to the blue line, and where am I going, and how do I do that? Well, or if you're somebody like me who maybe you go online and you put in your destination because you want to see it on your screen. And then you might transfer it to your phone or however you do that. But one of the things that you can do maybe with your phone is where you can tap to center. You know, where you can double tap or double click on your computer or tap your finger on your map on your phone, and it'll kind of center the map to whatever location that you have tapped. So this morning, I want to go with that idea a little bit, the idea of tap to center, in that the Gospels, I believe, are sort of God's attempt of tapping the map and saying, everything else centers around this. Everything else centers around the person of, the gospel of Jesus. And so that kind of becomes for us this centering point as we look at the Old Testament and as we kind of unpack the rest of the New Testament in the next 2 weeks as we finish up the series. that this is the center point. This is God tapping to center the map of our lives to go, here's the center. It is my son. It is Jesus. So in order to do that, first I want to ask you, have you ever lost something special to you? I mean, can you think of a time when you have really lost something that's been very special or meaningful to you? And that could be a wide range of things. I mean, it could be everything as far as a loved one, a relationship, health, job. It could be a really meaningful picture that you had of maybe some family or some friends that somehow in some way, maybe you were moving and in this move you lost this thing and you couldn't find it, and even still today you haven't been able to find where that is. Or maybe it was some other thing it's meaningful, and maybe the meaning of it is kind of a day-to-day, you know, you lose your keys, you lose your phone. I think I would be more scared to lose my phone than my keys, which is a weird kind of commentary on either me or some of our culture, maybe even. Have you ever lost something special? And so I want to look at Luke chapter 15. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. You'll see some words on the screen. And I think that Luke chapter 15 gives us sort of a snapshot of the gospel within the gospels. As we've talked about on this road trip through scripture, that it's impossible to cover scripture in, what are we doing, 6 weeks? And yet we're going to kind of just touch on a couple key points throughout this journey. And I believe that Luke 15 gives us an idea of the gospel within the gospels of Jesus. So Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and I'm reading from the NIV this morning. And so, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. And I like how, if you think about and look at the picture of Jesus, how Jesus has a way of standing in the in-between. Where on one side he has the tax collectors and the sinners, and on the other side he's got the churchy people, the religious people who are here, and they're challenging him, they're muttering, they're being a little bit judgy. This guy hangs out with this group of sinners and tax collectors. Jesus finds a way to be in the in-between. And then he says, I'm going to tell you these parables. And then he goes through the rest of this chapter, Luke 15, and we're going to unpack them here in a second, of talking about three different parables. The first one, he talks about a lost sheep and how there was a shepherd and there was a flock. And in this flock, there were 100 sheep. And one of the sheep wanders off. And the shepherd notices that one of them is missing, that one of them has become lost. And what does the shepherd do? Well, he goes to find the one lost sheep. And sure enough, the shepherd comes across the one lost sheep, and he picks him up, and he takes him back to the flock. And then he goes and he goes to his shepherd buddies, and he says, "Guys, we got to have a party. The lost sheep that I couldn't find, it was gone, and it's found. Let's have a party." Now, it's interesting to me when you think about the idea that there were 100 sheep in this flock and there was one missing, and the shepherd went to go find the one. It tells me that the shepherd knew the sheep. I mean, he must have known the sheep to know that there was one missing. I'm not a shepherd in the sense of, like, what does it look like to actually deal with sheep? 100 sheep seems like a lot of sheep to me. And to try to figure out where they're all going, when there's no fence and they just do their thing, to keep track of all of them and notice that one is missing, tells me the shepherd knows the sheep. And then Jesus goes on, he says, there was this lady and she lost a coin. And we think, it's a big deal. Well, she turned her house upside down looking for this one coin. Because you have to note that whatever the coins that she had that maybe she could fit in the palm of her hand, it was her 401k. It was her portfolio. It was her savings. It was everything she had was right here. And so to lose one of those coins was to lose a tenth of everything that she had. Now, when you think about it in that perspective, would we not also tear our house apart looking for a tenth of all that you have? And so this lady tears her house apart and she just can't find it. And she's looking and she's looking and she goes to bed just like we do, right? We go to bed and there's this thing that's kind of our minds, they're moving and they don't stop. And we lay there and you just stare up at the ceiling. And you're thinking about whatever it is that's causing you to stay awake. And she goes, you know what? I'm going to find this coin. She gets out of bed and she keeps going. Middle of the night, she finds the coin. She finds the thing that had been lost. And she calls her neighbors. In the middle of the night, guys, come over. We got to have a party. I found this coin. Jesus doesn't tell us how the neighbors react, but wouldn't that be an interesting sermon as well? How do we react when somebody comes and maybe it's 3 a.m. and they want to celebrate? And then Jesus closes this chapter, chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. It closes with the story of a dad who had 2 sons. And one of the sons comes to his dad one day and says, hey, dad, I want my inheritance. I want you to cash in everything and I want to take what's mine. And the graciousness of the dad, he does that. Okay. Gives the son his part of the inheritance, and the parable tells us that the son went off and squandered the inheritance that he had been given. So much so that he finds himself in a land that is not a place where he would go. And finds himself feeding some pigs. And the stuff that he's feeding the pigs begins to even look good to him. And you can picture the dad who has no idea where his son went, what he's doing, or if or when he'll ever come back. And as a parent, he's wrestling with the idea that he's lost a son. So as this guy's working in the mud with the pigs, he's comes to the realization that he really is pretty lost. And he says, I'm gonna go back home. I'm gonna go back to my dad and say, Dad, wow, I messed up. I sinned against you, I sinned against God, I sinned against myself. I'm lost. I'm a mess and I'm broken. And you know what? I would be grateful if you would just consider me one of your servants. Comes up with this plan and this speech that he's gonna lay on his dad when he gets there, and as he heads home, off in the distance, his dad sees him coming and runs out to him. And he begins his little spiel. Dad, I'm sorry. I'm a mess. I'm broken. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I don't even deserve to be called your son. If you would just even let me be one of your servants. And his dad stops him and calls for the robe and the ring and the shoes and says, let's have a party. Because the lost son had become found. I look at this passage and I look at this chapter and I think about the gospel within the gospels and I think about Jesus and I think about the fact that people matter to God. I think about that when you look at all 3 of these stories, that something of value was missing. And if you look at each of the stories, the value sort of increases along the way, in a way, right? I mean, where it's 1 out of 100, and then it's 1 out of 10, 1 out of 100 sheep, then it's 1 out of 10 coins, and then it's 1 out of 2 kids. Jesus is standing in the in-between between the spiritual leaders and the tax collectors and the sinners, and he's getting them, he's pulling them in. The 1 out of 100, the 1 out of 10, and then the 1 out of 2. And they're like, oh, I'm starting to, Jesus, the whole 1 out of 100, And then he kind of brings it down a little bit more, and by the time he gets to the one lost son of the two, they're going, now we feel you. Something of significant value is missing. And I think the gospel within the gospels reminds us that we can't find ourselves. Otherwise, we wouldn't be lost. You don't get lost if you know where you're going. And so we are reminded that we can't save ourselves. And I love that in each of these stories, an all-out search is required. I mean, it is leave the 99 and we are going to go find that one. It is, I'm going to rip this house to shreds and I'm going to find that one coin. It is, I am going to sit on the front porch and I am going to watch and wait and pray over that horizon, waiting and hoping that the sun is going to come back, that the lost son will be found. It is an all-out search. If you're taking notes, Luke chapter 19, so a little bit to your right in your Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The gospel within the gospels, right? Jesus within the gospels, the good news of the good news. Verse 10, Luke chapter 19. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And all out search is required. And God says, you are lost, I am lost, and we are going all in to find you. And that means I'm going to send myself to come and find you. And so God sends in this all-out search. He goes as far as he can go to send himself in his son so that you and I might be found. Turn a little bit further to the right, John chapter 3. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The gospel within the gospels. God has initiated an all-out search for you and for me. That was the whole purpose of why Jesus came. To serve, not to be served. And to seek out and save the lost. Now, I think it's pretty cool that in each of the stories that Jesus tells of the parables in Luke chapter 15, that each one of them ends with some sort of celebration or party. So that when the lost thing is found, the found thing is celebrated. And sometimes I wonder if we don't struggle with that in the church. That sometimes we find ourselves on the church leader side or the spiritual people kind of side, where Jesus is in the in-between, between the tax collectors and the sinners and the churchy people. And the churchy people are kind of going, how can you hang out with those people over there? And I wonder if sometimes we struggle with when the lost are found and they show up in our community, when they show up in our presence, when they come through those doors, that when the lost are found, that we're not like, oh, you were there? You did that? Your name's on what list? And we fail to celebrate that the lost has been found. You can read through Scripture and we hear that when one sinner comes to know Jesus, that there is a party where? In heaven. That when you look through the parables that Jesus gives us, that when the lost thing is found, the found thing is celebrated. And I wonder how well we do to celebrate when the lost is found. Some of us this morning are lost. Some of us this morning are sitting here and we just feel lost. And Jesus is saying, I've come to find you so that you might be found and that you might know life and life to the fullest. Some of us this morning need to go find the lost. Some of you are the shepherd. Some of you are the woman. Some of you are the dad, and you need to go and find the lost. Isn't that not what Jesus said when he told us to go into all the world? Because when the lost is found, the found is celebrated. This morning, as we prepare to celebrate communion, it seems like a meaningful reminder of the lengths at which Jesus went to give an all-out search for you and for me. I mean, that he would lay himself down so that you and I might be found. And so as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning, I'm going to invite you to be in a time of prayer and wrestle with where you might be. As God has and is seeking to find you and to find me. Lord, we give you thanks that you were willing to come and find us. And that you haven't stopped looking for us. And so we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup. As they remind us of the lengths that you went to so that we might be found. And so we pray that as they become your body and your blood for us, that we might also become your body broken for the world, and that you would use us to find those who are lost. Lord, help us to come to this table knowing that it is by your grace that we can come, and we come with hearts that are grateful. We come with hearts that are confessing that we don't deserve to be here, but that by your grace you invite us. And we celebrate this meal as a party. Because by it we're reminded that the lost is found. We're reminded of the night when you were there with your disciples and you took bread and you broke it. You gave thanks and you said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Take and eat and remember." And in a similar way, you took the cup, you gave thanks, blessed it, and said, "This cup is the cup of my blood, a new covenant which washes away your sins, which allows you and me to be found. Take and drink and remember." You'll receive communion this morning by intinction, and that means that you'll be ushered to the front, you'll rip a piece of the bread off, and you'll dip it in the cup. If you want to spend some time praying here at the kneeler, you're welcome to, or prayer there in your seat. We practice an open table of communion, which means that you don't have to be a United Methodist, you don't have to be a member here. You simply have to recognize that it is by God's grace that any of us can show up at this party. That it's by God's grace that any of us have been found. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would, to, as the ushers are going to come and help us, and those are going to help me to serve, to be in an attitude of celebration and be thinking about even those perhaps that are lost that we might be called to go find.